Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something seeks to celebrate the craft of live storytelling. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories told live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was a special edition in conjunction with the Big Sky Documentary Film Festival's 10th anniversary and was recorded on February 19th, 2013 at Monk's. This edition of Tell Us Something features six storytellers telling a story based upon the theme 10. This week's story comes to us from John Don Linton and is entitled Fighting the Mechanic's Son. Thank you for listening.
So it's my second visit, and I'm still just as nervous, if not more. So, as a kid growing up in Southeast Georgia, I was a bit odd. Might surprise some of you, but I was. I had long, curly, red hair, freckles over most of my body, nothing else. And my personality was, let's say, a bit undeveloped. So I was frequently a target of taunts, jeers, and bullies. And these particular two bullies had picked me out. So these bullies were known. They picked on other kids in the school. They were basically schoolyard bullies. My friends knew of them. I knew of them. And they would harass me in PE. They'd get me in the hall. They'd pick on me in class when they could. They were basic, just bullies. One of them was named Tommy, if I remember correctly. He was actually the son of the mechanic that my father used for his business. The other one, his friend, his little minion, I don't remember his name. He was just a kid. So one day, me and my friends are leaving school. We're walking from school. This is elementary school. I was 10 years old in Southeast Georgia. The one thing you don't want to be in Southeast Georgia at 10 years old is different from the other kids. And I was different from the other kids. So my friends and I are walking away from school and heading towards the library. We had a school project to work on. And remember, this is back in the day before the internet. I don't know if you guys remember that. But back then, if you wanted to research a subject, you had to go to a library and look it up in books. And that was our plan for the afternoon. We were going to go to our public library and look it up in books so we could get our project done. So the three of us are walking away from our school, heading down Ocean Boulevard. When we hit Demery, that's Demery Road, my two friends turned south towards the library, while I had to continue on down Ocean. Now I had to go to my father's office supply store because I was going to pick up poster board and markers. That was one of my contributions to our project. So that left me walking alone down Ocean Boulevard. Not a big deal. This is a small town. It's a small town that's kind of a town where if people don't know you directly, they know of you. That's how small it was. So I'm walking down Ocean Boulevard and hear the bikes coming up behind me. Their knobby BMX bike tires popping acorns on the asphalt coming up behind me. Now I was just a lone foot soldier, and here comes two mounted warriors behind me. I kind of knew who it was, because as they came up behind me, they were yelling insults and jeers at me. Typical, I'm used to it. They rode past me. When they circled past, they continued their jeers and insults, and then they started circling me. This went on for about a block as we were walking. And I mostly ignored him, except for the grimace and a couple of mean looks back at him, which now I realize probably encouraged him. And they had their fancy brand new BMX bikes, the bike of choice of any kid in the 1980s. And they're riding around me, they're insulting me, they're spitting in front of me, they're kicking at me, they're doing what bullies do, picking on me, because I was different. I was smaller, I had curly red hair, freckles, didn't really act like the other kids, wasn't good at team sports. So they're picking on me and kicking at me and all this. We get into a old convenience store parking lot off the pathway. And Tommy, that's the ringleader, the mechanic's son, he kicks at me. And I grab his foot. And I pull him off his bike. And now, one thing other about me is that was kind of to my advantage. One, I had older brothers and younger brothers. So I was not unknown to fighting. We fought a lot. So I pulled Tommy off his bike. His bike clashed to the ground. I still remember the sound of that bike hitting the ground. And I still remember feeling him hit the cement while I was holding on to his foot as he fell. Now this scared me. Here it is, this boy Tommy, who's bigger than me, just fell to the ground because of me. So I was like, oh man, what had I just done? Well, I had another advantage, I guess. My mom had a commercial horse stables while we were growing up. And being the boys of the family, we had to huck bales, huck feed bags, which weigh 50, 100 pounds each, and among other chores. So we were fit and strong, I guess. But again, I was small for my age. Well, I was scared. Tommy just hit the ground. His bike was on the ground. And it was because of me. So he stands up, yells a profanity at me. You just messed up my bike. What are you doing? And then swings and hits me hard in the stomach. Well, there was another little advantage I had, I guess, that I didn't realize back then because I was a small, odd kid that was mostly scared. But I'm a redhead and I have a temper. I get mad easily. It's something I have to work on even today. Well, that punch caught me in the stomach hard, and it knocked the wind out of me. But it also drove the rage in me. I didn't fall. He punched, stepped back, and I went crazy and lunged at him. Just flailing, no aim, no target, no nothing. I hit him in the head, I hit him in the stomach, I hit him in the head, in the stomach again, in the head, and he went down. I went down right on top of him, just flailing, punches and punches and punches. He's screaming and trying to block. And at this point, I don't have any control of it. He yells out to his friend, who says, hey, stop, get off him. And then punches me in the back. And that hurt. I still feel that. Well, that just drove the rage deeper. The red built up off of me. I jumped off Tommy, turned to his friend, and his friend standing there with something in his hand. And to this day, I'm still not exactly sure what it is. It was either a shiny, sharpened fish hook or some little pin knife. But he's got this thing in his hand pointing it at me. And I'm just focused on it. What is this? He yells, stop it, and swings it at me. I dodge it, grab his hand with both of my hands, and swing him around in an arch around me. And I let him go, and he falls back between two gas pumps at this convenience store. And I'm just mad. So I just fall in after him again. And again, a storm of flailing. Hits. Just beating on him. I'm hitting him in his head, stomach, everywhere. No control. No focus. And he's crying. And so his friend yells, "I'm going to go get my dad," whose shop is just one store over. Gets up, grabs his bike, runs over to his dad. I stand up, and I'm like, whoa. Now, I'd like to say this is my De Niro moment. But I stand up calmly, brush myself off, calmly step away, and leave this bully to cry there by himself for being beaten. But that's not what I did. I took off full tilt, running. I ran across the street, down a dirt alley, and over to my father's shop. I burst into the door, the lady behind the counter. I say hi to her. I gotta get supplies. Grab my poster board, grab my markers, and then she logs them in. And I take off towards the library, heading south with the southern route because I didn't want to go anywhere near that garage. Back to the library to find my friends. I get to the library, and the old ladies that are always there smile at me and point to where my friends are because it's not, you know, it's a library. It's not very busy. And I go over to my friends and go, "Whoa, I can't believe it. I just got in a fight with Tommy and his friend." And they both kind of look at me puzzled. And then I say, "Hey, I beat him." And they look at each other, look back, and they go, "No, you didn't." And to this day, they didn't believe me. They just don't believe me. Of course, the bullies aren't going to admit they're beat. So a great victory, and I've lost it because there's no witnesses. At least I thought. A couple nights later, my dad calls me into his room. My dad's a great guy. Not a big-time disciplinarian, just a great old cool guy. He's kind of a bottom-of-the-line guy. He's still kind of a guy that's stuck in a 1950s detective novel. Calls me into his room and says, "Hey, I'll talk to Eddie." That's the mechanic. He says, "You got in a fight with his son." I said, "No." "Well, yeah, I got in a fight, but..." He says, "Well, they said you started it. You even beat up his friend." I'm like, "What? I beat up his son and his friend? And this is my fault?" He's like, "Well, that's what they said." I was like, "Well, we got in a fight. I pulled him off his bike, and yeah, we got in a fight, and I ran away." He says, "Well, they broke your bike. Or they claim that you broke his bike, Tommy's bike." It's like, "I never touched his bike. I pulled him off his bike. His bike fell." And so my father, tell my father a rough story what happened. And he finally comes out and says, "You know, I don't want you fighting. That's not good. You can't fight." I say, "But Dad," and we called him Dad back then. We call him old man now. "But Dad, you said to stand up for myself." He says, "Yeah, but you got to stand up for yourself without fighting." And I didn't know what that meant. I was 10 years old. I was standing up for yourself without fighting. I was odd. I was different. People confronted me. We got in fights. And that happened throughout the next couple of years. I got a number of fights. A lot of them I lost. Some of them I won. Didn't figure it out until high school. Figured out that, hey, I can stand up without fighting. The easiest way, just stand there, look at them sternly. And some reason, they back down. Don't know why, but it works most of the time. I've taken a couple of punches. But that's it, and that's the life of a 10-year-old in southern Georgia. If you look strange and odd, you get in fights, you have fun, you try to make it through. Thanks a lot.
This edition of Tell Us Something is brought to you by the bookstore at the University of Montana, the Big Sky Documentary Film Festival, and Monks. Tell Us Something would like to thank the bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, staff, and faculty of the University of Montana, as well as the general Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Monks, regularly bringing Missoula great live music. MonksBarMT.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. The Big Sky Documentary Film Festival, bringing amazing documentary films to the Missoula community for 10 years. BigSkyFilmFest.org. Jonathan Marquis, illustrator, artist, and community organizer. JonathanMarquis.com. That's Marquis with a Q. Matt LaRubio, screen printing done right. MLaRubio@gmail.com. Rockin' Rudy's, your source for funky gifts, cards, and music. Great people, great music. RockinRudy's.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at CashForJunkersMusic.com. Find us on Twitter.com/PSST. Tell us. And on Facebook and at TellUsSomething.org. Interested in telling a story? Call 406-203-4683 or email pst.tell.us.something@gmail.com to pitch your story. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours?